back, strategists, to another episode of The Chic Strategy. This is the podcast that helps you be the glam in the room through beauty, fashion, and style. I'm Tuesday, and I'm here with Yvonne. We're your co-hosts and fellow strategists, and today we are going to be talking about wardrobe decluttering. This is something I feel like I have chatted about so much this year, but today we are going all in. But first, let's catch up. Yvonne, how's it going?
It's going. I had a little blip before I got on here, but I'm feeling a little bit better. So that's a good thing. Just as an FYI, if anybody's feeling like nauseous, these little nauseous bands work amazingly well. So if you don't, you should have them in your kit, because I do feel tons better right now. Like, I don't know. I don't know if it's psychosomatic, but I'm going to go with it.
As long as it's working.
Yeah, man. As long as it's working. Let's see. I don't know. I don't have anything like, my week was kind of just, why is my week like not exciting? I guess. I don't know.
Well, you know, I mean, in light of all things February, I'm glad that your week was not exciting.
Yes, exactly.
Now, I want to tell you that like my week was also not exciting, but that would be good. A lie. Like March just marched in carrying all of February's baggage. So on our last podcast, I mentioned that my dishwasher was fixed and how happy I was. Well, guess what? It's not fixed. It's still leaking. I have had the repair people out twice since we last recorded. And they're coming out again today. And at this point, it's kind of like either fix it or we're going to fight, because I need my dishwasher back. But that's how it's going. And it's okay.
You gotta be kidding me.
No, I'm very serious.
Oh, this is worse.
There is
awful.
Nothing worse than not having a dishwasher. I mean, again, first world problem, but it is still a problem. It's so awful.
Well, yeah. This is horrible.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I mean,
but hopefully today's the day.
I guess the only thing worse than having your dishwasher be broken is having your washing machine be broken.
Absolutely.
Because I mean, you still can wash dishes by hand, even though that sucks. But I mean, what are you going to do about washing your clothes? I mean, there's some hand washing that can happen, but geez, what are you going to do? Wash all your clothes by hand?
I'm not going to be washing like sheets and towels by hand. That's ridiculous. No, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. This isn't.
No, thank you.
1892. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
I don't need one of those like scrubby things with the rolly. No, thank you. I'm gonna need. I need a washer.
Yeah, actual washing machine that does the work for you. Yes.
Yeah.
So thankfully, my washing machine is working, but the dishwasher is still a thorn in my side. So.
Okay. And well, they don't have any idea when this dishwasher situation is going to.
Well, every time they leave my house, they tell me it's fixed.
Oh.
And then I run it and then it's leaking again. So I call them or I text them, I should say, because, you know, in this day and age, you never actually talk to anybody. You only get to text them. So I text them a picture of the water on my floor under my dishwasher and tell them to please come back. And then, you know, I make more time in my schedule for them to arrive and they come and do the thing and tell me, oh, this is what was wrong. Sorry, we missed it last time. And I'm like, by the time this is done, I'm going to have a new dishwasher, which, I mean, hey, great. But
I mean, yeah, no kidding.
I do want it to work.
Yes, of course. You're like, and then it's just time in your day, back and forth with people coming in and out of your house.
That's the worst of it, actually, is just that it's taking so much of my free time. So,
yeah, exactly. Well, okay. Well, we're going to hope the best for your dishwasher.
Thank you. All right. Let's jump into today's episode. It's the art of wardrobe decluttering. And I do feel like it's a little bit of an art. Like it really is kind of artistic to be able to curate your closet in a way that really brings joy for you and works for your lifestyle and brings joy. if nothing else, it's at least a journey. And like all journeys, I think you've got to start somewhere. And I like to say for this task that we start with your headspace. And I know that seems like a weird place to start, but trust me on this. Yvonne, have you ever tried to clean out your closet when your head wasn't in the game?
That's funny. I don't know that I ever have, because I, like you, I understand that this is, you have to be in the right headspace, kind of like shopping, or kind of like going to a store. You know, there's certain stores that you go to and you're like, when I shop at this store, you have to be in the right headspace. Like, and I'm thinking of Last Chance as an example.
Oh my gosh. Like the world's hardest example.
Yeah, exactly. And there's been times when I've gone into Last Chance thinking I was in the right headspace, and then I get in there and I'm like, yep, nope, this is not it, and I gotta go. So I think it's the same way with my closet. You know, there's been times where I'm like, oh yeah, I think I want to do this, and I quickly, like, I mean, within minutes, figure out, like, nope, this is not what I need to be doing right now. This, I'm not in the headspace to do this. So I haven't tried to push through it, because I just know it, what's the point? What's the point of doing that?
Yeah, I agree with you. If you're not emotionally ready, it can be hard to, like, wade through all of the clutter, because decluttering your closet gets sentimental and very emotional. Sometimes you're holding on to things for reasons that you didn't even realize. Maybe there's memories attached, which we'll talk about later in the podcast, or maybe, I don't know, you think you're going to lose weight or gain weight or whatever, or you spend a lot of money on it. And these are all things we're going to discuss. But if you're not mentally ready, it's hard to, like, liberate your clothing, like, to let it go. So if you're just not ready to do that work, then maybe now is not the time to clean out your closet. And I know we've talked about style, and like finding your personal style is kind of being like therapy, where you have to do the work. Well, this is a continuation of the work.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. You've got to be in that good headspace to, like, do this thing.
Yeah, I feel like if you are not, if you feel overwhelmed by, I guess you could just get in your feelings about it. You're overwhelmed by the amount of things that you have, or sad about what you don't have. That could, you know, there's a lot of emotion that goes with kind of decluttering and making that space. And I think any space, regardless of what it is, you know, what you want it to be, because like you said, all the reasons, you know, do I get rid of this? I spent good money, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And I love that you said that, like, the emotion attached to what you don't have. That's something I actually haven't given a lot of thought to, but you're right. So you can be just as emotional about the things you do have as the things you don't have. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think you also mentioned another good point, and that is that this can get overwhelming. And so that's kind of a good segue into kind of the tips and tricks that we need to have a successful closet clean out. And the first one is to not pull everything out at once. Yvonne, you know, back in January, I did a virtual community closet clear out with my Instagram flower. Instagram flowers. My Instagram
That's
followers.
A great name.
So me and the flowers. My followers and I, we decided to clean out our closets together in January. I had taken some time off for work and I had this free time. And so every day we tackled a different section of our closets. And every single day I reminded my followers, don't pull everything out at once. And the reason is because it gets overwhelming, especially if you're somebody who has a lot of clothing. Now, if you're a minimalist and you're, you know, you have just a capsule wardrobe, then this doesn't apply to you. You know, and you probably don't need any tips or tricks for decluttering because you don't have that much to begin with.
Correct.
But I think for most women, it is very overwhelming. And I think it's unnecessary, despite what you will hear organizers and stuff say. I don't think it's necessary to pull everything out at once. I think it's just as efficient and probably more calming, or what's the word I want to use? Just less overwhelming to just take it section by section. So I, for our closet cleanout, broke my entire wardrobe down into 7 sections. Every day I took about an hour, maybe two, to go through the items that were in that section. So for instance, one day we did tops and I pulled out all the tops that I had and followed the tips and tricks I'm going to tell you guys about. And it took me about an hour to go through. And then I put everything that I kept away, everything that was going out of my house in a separate pile. And yeah, it was way less overwhelming, but it still had an entire closet clean out, but didn't drag everything out. What are your thoughts on that, Yvonne?
Oh, I think that's great. I mean, I have known people that have done that. What is that thing called? Swedish death?
Oh yeah. Cleaning? Swedish death cleaning.
Yeah. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
And basically they just take it. They just throw everything away. I mean, I really don't know, but every time I've seen videos or reels about it, it just looks like all this stuff is just like pulled out and it just looks like a hot mess. Like, I don't know. It looks nuts to me. So I don't really know if that's what Swedish death, or pulling it all out and doing that is what Swedish death cleaning is, but that's just what it reminds me of. Like, I just feel like if you're overwhelmed already, why are you going to pull it all out?
It's going to make the problem worse. And
my husband, so like, I love to organize things. It's like one of my favorite things to do. I love to organize things. And my husband, he likes to pull everything out and then have a clean space and then put everything, and then literally put everything back. I'm like, okay, we just move stuff around. This is stupid. Because, I mean, he's getting better. He's getting better about getting rid of things. But I'm like, no, Tim, I'm not pulling everything out. I'm not doing this. I'm not. This is ridiculous. So we have two different ways. Our brains work differently on how to organize things, for sure. But I agree with you 100%. Don't, you know, set a timer, have a little bit of a plan to begin with. Is like Tuesday had a plan. She had her 7 areas that she wanted to start with. Okay, cool. Then it's just so much easier that if you say, okay, I'm going to dedicate 2 hours to tops. Okay. And maybe it takes you 2 hours, maybe it takes you under 2 hours, but then it's done. Done and done. And then you can, if you have time the next day, or you could just put it on your calendar once a week or however, you know, this is how I'm going to do it. And you can do it in sections. I mean, everything keeps.
Yeah. It's not going to go bad.
It's not going to go bad.
And I completely agree with you. And I'm wondering if, like, you know, opposites attract opposites, because my husband's like that too. He's like Tim, where he wants to pull everything out. I remember one time complaining about the organization in my office, and he was like, well, then just take everything out and we'll just reorganize it. And he proceeded to start without me and pulled everything out. To this day, it is still not organized in the fashion that it should be, because I get so overwhelmed, because y'all know I have squirrel brain. And so what happens is that I get so overwhelmed that I just do nothing at all. And so just nothing ever went back the way it didn't go back in a way that was actually useful to me. And that's what happens with my closet too. So, I mean, if I want to look at things piled up on a chair for the next year, then yeah, I would pull everything out. But
I think that's, I don't know, your husband is like an engineer brain because he builds things and can make things that, like my husband, right? And I wonder if that's just how their brains work. I don't know. I don't know. Like this engineer kind of brain. I've just noticed that he sees things different, so much differently than I do. And he just wants to pull every, he's like, well, one time we did his side of the closet and he just wanted to pull everything out. And I was like, no, calm down. Calm. This is, no, we're starting with this. And then, I made him like try things because he had lost a bunch of weight. So I made him try everything on and he was just like not
Good.
about that life. But I
Yeah.
made him because I mean, half the stuff didn't fit. So really what he was doing was going to take it out and put it back. And I'm like, well,
Yeah,
that's a waste of my time.
that's fine. No,
No,
thank you.
thank you. Yeah. So I agree with you, especially with like your office situation. You're just, why are you? It, I think when you have that big pile of stuff, it's so like if you weren't overwhelmed before, you're really overwhelmed now.
Yeah, 100%. So that's my first piece of advice. Don't pull everything out at once, unless of course you're one of our husbands, then feel free, go right ahead.
Do what you do.
Tip number two, is to say goodbye to the fashion flops. There are some things in your closet that have had their moment and it's time to let them go. The bedazzled jeans, I don't know, the neon leg warmers, although I am a fan of a good leg warmer, just not in neon. There's just pieces that are lurking in the back of your closet that need to stay in the past where they belong. Give them a proper send-off and then make room for trends that won't embarrass you in your future throwback pictures. And don't be the person who says, "Oh, well, that's going to come back around." Because I promise you, when it comes back around, it's going to either one, it's not going to fit. Or two, it's going to be in a totally different iteration than it is right now, or than it was in 1992. So let it go, let it go.
I just hear the song in my head.
Good, then I did my job.
I agree with you. I mean, do you have a lot of those in your closet? Those fashion flops? Yeah, me neither.
I do not. I do not. Because once something is, I mean, occasionally I do buy trendy pieces because,
Sure. We all do.
but once I'm over the trend, I usually just go ahead and let it go. I don't hold in on to anything that isn't truly a classic piece for me or doesn't like truly lean into my personal style. And sometimes there are trendy pieces that for me are not trendy. They're just part of my style,
Style.
like leg warmers. As long as they're not neon. So I'm going to hold on to those because I'm continually still wearing them. But sometimes we just get into things and it's just like that just didn't work out for me. And it's just time to let it go.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, I think I'm the same where I have bought some trendy pieces and then I'm like, oh, okay, it had its moment. I'm letting it go now.
Yeah. And it's like you want to be able to release those pieces, like just flow in and flow out, like let old things flow out so that new things can flow in.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's like one of these things, obviously. We've talked about this 100 times about knowing your style and when trends come in and out, what is that? What is whatever trend that's here of the moment? What is it that's fitting your style? So, like, buy those things. But then when it's feeling dated, then move along from them.
Yeah, move on. And I think that plays into my third kind of rule, and that's to embrace the rule of no regrets. If you haven't worn it recently, as in like the last year, because we know some things are seasonal. So you haven't worn it in the last year or so, and you don't have any plans to wear it in the future, because sometimes you do have pieces in your closet that you're holding on to because an occasion is going to come up that you're going to want to have that item for. It's just that maybe that occasion doesn't come around as often as, say, like, you know, the amount of times you're going to wear a pair of jean shorts. So if you haven't worn it recently, you have no plans to wear it in the future, it might be time to let it go. If you're holding on to things that are sentimental, like a sweatshirt you borrowed from your college boyfriend, or, you know, I don't know, some t-shirt you got while you were in band in high school or something, it's time for it to go. Your closet needs space for new love affairs. So just open up your hands and let it fly free.
Let it fly free. Yeah, it's funny because I feel like I have no problems. People always ask me this when I'm talking to them about their wardrobe or their closet or their style. They always say, how are you really able to just let go of things easily? And I said, oh, yeah, because I just know that there's more clothes to be had.
Yeah, you nailed it. That's exactly it. I just tell myself, like, there's always going to be something else.
There's not. Well, we all know this. There's not an underabundance of clothes.
Correct.
I mean, there's always going to be a place where you can find clothes. So that piece of clothing, maybe you didn't get to wear it because for whatever reason, who knows why. Okay, you didn't get to wear it. But let it go fly free so somebody else can wear it. Why is it still in your closet and you're not wearing it and somebody else isn't wearing it? This is dumb.
It's dumb. And you're also, like, you're not letting the story that piece of clothing has, you're not letting that story be finished. It's not completed because it's just sitting in your closet languishing. You're not going to wear it. So let someone else wear it and finish the story.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. Or, you know, maybe the story is over. Maybe it's just ragged and just whatever, and it just needs to be trashed or cut into cleaning rags or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But maybe that is the end of the story, but it's still not finished if it's sitting in your closet, hanging on a hanger, taking up space.
Yeah. Yeah. It's clutter. It's taking up the mind space. Mm-hmm. The value, it's bringing down the value of your whole closet is really what I'm trying to say.
Gosh, you are so, for someone who wasn't feeling well today, you're nailing it.
Maybe these little bands are working. I don't know.
Yes, it is bringing down the value. You know, we talked about a couple weeks back about creating our boutiques.
Yeah.
And I feel like this goes into that. Like, don't bring down the value of your boutique. You know, keep it fresh, keep it on trend, keep it on point, and let go of that stuff that's been sitting in the clearance section for the last year. Let it go.
Yeah, exactly. And that's so perfect. It's, if it's in the clearance section, you know, quote unquote clearance section of your closet, then that means you haven't worn it in a very long time for any number of reasons, and it just needs to go.
Yeah, agreed. Which I love how these all kind of flowed into together. Each other. Yeah. What I call the 7 second rule, and this was an arbitrary number that I made up, but it works. And it goes something like this. Take the piece of clothing that you're debating whether to get rid of or not, and just kind of hold it for a moment. 7 seconds is about a moment. Yep. And if you don't feel a spark, if there's not, it's not something that comes to you that's just like, oh my gosh, I love this. Or, oh my gosh, yeah, this is really useful. Oh, this is the perfect, like, little tea or whatever. Then it is time to let it go. And trust your instincts. Trust your gut. Like, don't change your mind. Don't Mm-mm. second guess yourself. Fashion is all about the feelings. So just hold it there just for a moment. See how you feel about it. If you're feeling a kind of way that's, like, good, hold on to it. And if you are just like, either put it in the maybe pile or let it go?
Yeah, that's great. I have that rule about everything as far as shopping for clothes goes. If I'm out and about shopping for clothes, or say a Stitch Fix even comes to me and I kind of like it, but I don't love it, I don't have room in my closet to for something that I kind of like. I
Yeah.
have to love it. I have to love it, and or not. Like, if I don't love it, I leave it. So if you don't love it, take it out of your closet.
I have this conversation, it seems like more frequently lately, and maybe just because I have it on the brain, but people will say, well, what do you think? Like, should I get it? And I say to myself, if we're having this conversation, then the
No.
answer is probably no, because you're second guessing whether you want it. You're trying to convince yourself to fall in love with something you're not in love with.
Right.
And we would never let ourselves do that in relationships, I hope. So let's
Oh.
not do it with our friends either.
Yeah, it's not, yeah, exactly. It's not, it's, you can't have something that's just good enough. Like, it's
Correct.
good enough. Like, you are more than, you are more than wearing good enough.
Yeah, you're better than that.
Yeah, you're better than that. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. My next and like kind of last tip for now, anyways, is to not cling to sizes and to just stop caring about what size is on the tag. Stop torturing yourself. If you have something in your closet that is the wrong size, get it out. It's not good for your mental health, which we just talked about, because your closet will either tease you that you are not small enough, because you're holding on to your skinny pants, because you're like, oh, I'm gonna get back into those. Or it encourages you to gain back weight that you've worked hard to shed. So by leaving that, extra large dress in your closet that have lost weight and don't fit into anymore, it's just encouraging you to be like, oh, well, don't worry, that dress is there. So if you gain it back, it's fine. We're not doing that. Instead,
Right.
we're going to embrace the body that we're in right now and dress it like the masterpiece that it is. So don't cling to the sizes. And also don't cling to the sizes, like if it fits, it fits. If it says large or whether it says extra small on it, if it fits, it fits. If it doesn't fit, get it out.
Right. Yeah. It, no, it
Yvonne has so many feelings about this.
Yeah, just don't, what, don't torture yourself with wrong sizes, sizes that would quote unquote aspirational sizes, And if you just look at what designers have done over the years, I mean, it's ridiculous how sizing has really changed over the years. And sizing, as we all know, is not consistent through designers, brands, even within its own brands. It's not
Yeah, no
consistent.
kidding.
So, you could get, and some of this is like cuts too, especially with pants and things. But if, I mean, you could be at one store and try a size 10 on in one pair of pants, and then a size 8 on another pair of pants, and they could be totally, you're like, wait, why does this one fit and this one fit? Like, I don't understand. But if I went up or down on either of these pants, they wouldn't fit. What the heck? It's just sizing is so ridiculous across the board that you, it doesn't matter. It's just a freaking number that somebody has assigned to it, that I don't know who assigns these numbers.
Yeah, because they're, I mean, it really is relative. It doesn't really mean anything. And you guys know I work in a retail environment and we carry lots of brands in our store. And absolutely, there's no consistency. So a pair of cut from the cloth jeans is not going to fit the same as a pair of mother jeans is not going to fit the same as a pair of Good American jeans or whatever. And then again, within sizes, like you said, like Good American as an example, in which this is kind of by design, there is no consistency, in my opinion, in sizing across the brand. So you can try on a pair of like Good Leg Straights and they're going to fit. The sizing is going to be different than a pair of like good waist jeans or whatever. And again, it's partly by design of the way they make their jeans, but it just makes it hard to shop sometimes in a store and not know, you know, what's going to fit. So if you're working with somebody, you know, in a retail environment, or if you're just shopping by yourself, even go with what is kind of what I call like a baseline size. You kind of know what, you know, kind of what size you are. Like I'm approximately, you know, a 29 or whatever.
Yes.
Then start there and then move up or down accordingly. Sometimes you're going to have to go up in size. Sometimes you're going to have to go down a size or two sizes or whatever. It's fine. Just find the ones that fit. But you have like a baseline for yourself, but there is no consistency. And if you look at the size charts for all these different brands, 27 for one brand, the measurements are not the same for a 27 in another brand. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, it's funny. I was looking at, I don't know what it was. Maybe I was shopping for something on Poshmark and I came across a pair of jeans and it had the tags on them. And it was my size, but then the measurement that the person measured and they showed a picture of it. And I'm like, well, that's 1 inch bigger than the size that it says on the tag. What the hell? I was so confused. I mean, I don't remember if I bought those jeans, but it's a pair of jeans I have purchased like from a brand that I purchase regularly. So I'm like, is the way that the person measured it wrong? But I really looked at the picture. That's a good thing about Poshmark. Some of these poshers, they take these
of their measurements. And so then you can see how they measured the item.
I thought, no, it's pretty spot on how they measured. I mean, it's what I would have measured. And I really looked at it and I just thought, what the hell? It's 1 inch bigger than what it says on the tag that was literal on the jeans. So I mean, there you go, just as a for instance.
But yeah, do not get hooked up on the size.
Yeah, just let it go and just, you know, just make sure that everything in your closet fits the body that you have right now today. All right, let's change course just a little bit here and talk about a couple of questions that I got when I did my latest closet declutter, which I was telling you guys about on Instagram. And the one question I got asked a couple of times actually was, what do you do with sentimental items that you no longer wear, but you can't seem to part with? Yvonne, do you have kind of a process for that?
Sentimental items that I can't seem to part with. What do I do about that? I don't have too many sentimental items. I have some sentimental items. We've talked about them on the podcast before, like my wedding dress that I still kind of don't know what to do with. My wedding shoes. I think I'm kind of, I go by the feels.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I just kind of like, I know, like, I can think back and I had this one dress. It wasn't anything like spectacular or super special or anything, but my husband bought it for me. I think it was probably pretty early on in our relationship and I wore it on like special dates or whatever. And obviously if I still had it in my closet, it would be way too small for me now, but I think I kept it for a while and then I did one of these closet cleanouts and I was like, okay, I think I'm good. I'm good. You know, I kept it until I didn't want to keep it. I guess that's not a very good answer.
No, I think it is a good answer. I think you'll know when you're ready to let go of something. And until then, give yourself some grace. I think it's fine to have a few sentimental items in your closet. Not a lot, but a few. And when you're ready, you'll let it go. You know, I'm the same way about my wedding dress. It's in a box. I'm not going to wear it ever again. Obviously, I don't have anybody to pass it to and nobody's going to want it. But I'm not ready to let it go. When I'm ready to let it go, I'll let it go. Meanwhile, it sits in a box. But I don't have a whole lot of other like sentimental things. And I think the question that I got on Instagram was actually in relation to somebody who had passed away in their life and had given them this clothing. And so they felt like they wanted to keep it. And I told them, like, it's okay. Give yourself some grace. That's okay. And I think a bigger part of these sentimental items is not so much that we're afraid of losing the item. It's that we're afraid of losing the memory. And right. So sometimes we have to remind ourselves that the memories are with us for as long as we are coherent and right. Probably even beyond that.
Yeah. I was going to say sometimes
beyond that. Yeah. And then take some photos of yourself with the items, or maybe if it's still something you can wear, take a photo of yourself in the item. It's the memories I think we're afraid of losing. And even with things that I hold on to, like I have a pair of shoes that I used to go clubbing in all the time. And there's so many great memories attached to those shoes. And I'm not ready to let go of them. So I'm holding on to them. And it's the memories of being with my friends and the nights we spent together and all of the, you know, chaos that ensued. It's the memories I don't want to lose, even though like they're not attached to the pair of shoes, but those shoes do remind me of those times. And so I've allowed myself to go ahead and hang on to those. But there have been items, especially over the last year, that I'm like, okay, I'm done with that. And I've just let it go. And when you're ready, you're ready. As long as it doesn't get overwhelming or, you know, get to be like out of control.
No, I agree with that.
So the second question that I get asked often is, what do you do with all the stuff that you get rid of? Because some of my things are in really good shape. Like, what do I do with them? And I say, first of all, give away. Whether it's to Goodwill or to friends or sell on like Poshmark or whatever, just avoid trashing things because most things can be recycled or upcycled. So that's number one. That's what I do with things. I usually make three piles: things that are going to Goodwill, things that are going to my friends or family, and then things I'm going to sell on Poshmark.
Okay.
But what I really hear in that question is, I've spent a lot of money on these items that you're telling me to get rid of. How do I get my investment back?
Mm-hmm.
And I talked about this. You just don't. I talked about this on my Instagram. It's a sunk cost. And so a sunk cost is essentially money that you spent on something that you cannot get back. So you spent money on the clothing, unless it's within their return policy and you've got the tags on it and you haven't worn it, you cannot get your money back on it. It's just gone. Now, usually you're fine with that because you've traded your money for an item that you're going to wear. But shopping is an investment. Sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you invest in something and the stock of it goes up, meaning that you're going to get your cost per wear out of it. You're going to, you know, get to enjoy it for however long you have it. Sometimes you invest in something and it doesn't work out. And this, what we would say, like the stock goes down, you lose the money on your investment. And that's just the way it is. We're hoping with the help of our podcast that you're going to have more good investments than bad investments, but sometimes even we have things that we invest our money in and it just doesn't work out. Either way, if it's time for it to go, it's time for it to go. Do not sit on bad investments because, again, they will make you feel bad about yourself and they will discourage you from investing in clothing again. So let it go.
Yes. Yes. If that song is not in your ears by now, then I don't know what the problem is. You've never heard of this song. I agree with you. I mean, and I think it's not just saying, oh, all of my pieces have to be luxury pieces or expensive pieces of clothing. I don't think that's exactly it either. I think it means that it has to be of, like, you know, not Shein or Temu or maybe even H&M and any of the fast fashions. Let's just put all the fast fashions in there, which a lot of them are fast fashion at this point. But, you know, but, you know, there's some really good pieces out there from The Gap, Banana. I can't think of a lot of places right now. But, you know, places that are widely shopped, I guess, you know. The Loft has some good classic, and I'm talking more good classic, I guess, classic pieces. Jeans are an investment. I mean, I think this is why you see this, the jean recycler lady that you had mentioned a while back. You know, she finds all these great jeans. They still have life in them. And so, but you're still, if you spent $150 on a piece, I'm sorry, unless it's some really amazing investment piece, you're probably not getting $150 back for the piece.
No. No, you're just not. I mean, you might get $20 for it, you know, if you sell it on Poshmark or eBay or take it to a consignment or something, you might. But the money is just, the money has just already been invested and is gone. What you have is the piece that you traded it for, and either it worked out or it didn't. And sometimes, like I said, you know, maybe you lost weight like I did. And I mean, I am the perfect example of this. I invested a lot of money into my clothing, and I'm not like one of these luxury shoppers over here, you guys. Like, I shop, well, I mean, I'll shop anywhere, but you know, I have pieces from anywhere from Target to, you know, Page Denim. So, I mean, like, I have a good wide range of price points in my closet. That's not the point. The point is that I have invested quite a bit of money into my wardrobe to have things that I really liked and that worked with my frame and my style. And then I lost weight, like enough weight that none of that stuff fit. And I had to get rid of probably 85, 90% of my closet. It hurt.
Because I'm sure you liked a lot of those pieces. I'm sure you were so sad when you had to get rid of those, because it is so frustrating to say, oh, I loved wearing you. I loved how I felt when I wore you. And now when I wear you, it's not the same feeling because, well, you don't fit.
Yeah. And it hurts. It hurts to know that, like, I spent that money and now I'm going to have to spend new amounts of money to, like, restock my boutique. But that money was already spent. And I mean, thankfully, I got to wear a lot of my wardrobe and, you know, reap the benefit of that. But the money's spent. It's gone. So while, yes, there are some pieces that are going to go on Poshmark and I will get, you know, some percentage of my money back, it's definitely not going to be 100% of my money. It's probably going to be 75 or 50% of my money. Mm-hmm. But, you know, something's better than nothing. But I'm just not going to let that stand in the way of me having a good wardrobe. And I'm certainly not going to just, like, spend all this time being sad or whatever about the money that's already gone. It's just gone.
Yeah, you spent it. It's done. You wore the pieces. You enjoyed the pieces. Now it's time. I mean, it wasn't like you weren't going to buy, even if you had stayed that size, that doesn't mean you weren't going to buy any new clothes anyways.
Duh. Have we met me?
Right, exactly. Maximalist.
Yes, maximalist, definitely. All right, should we take a quick break?
I think that's a great idea.
Hey, beautiful. Let's talk about a game changer for your daily beauty routine, the toothbrush from Quip. The Quip toothbrush, with its minimalist, stylish design, is so chic, it's practically a fashion accessory. But here's the real beauty. With Quip's subscription program, you'll get new brush heads right when you need them, so you're always giving your teeth the best care. Want to know why I really love the toothbrush from Quip? and why I have been using it for almost 8 years. It's the 2 minutes of gently vibrating bristles working their magic thanks to Quip's built-in timer. It's like a beauty treatment for your teeth. You can bet that my dental visits have gotten so much better since I started using Quip. But we're not stopping at toothbrushes, y'all. Quip offers a full oral care routine from toothpaste, mouthwash, floss, and more. And it's all delivered right to your door. Visit getquip.com to elevate your smile with Quip, because beauty starts with self-care. Use the code in this episode's show notes to get $5 off your first refill. Again, visit getquip.com, that's getquip.com, to subscribe to an oral care routine that's as fabulous as you are.
Tuesday, we're back, and I really think this has been a great lesson in the art of decluttering. So once our strategists have decluttered, what do they do next? How does decluttering help them be the glam in the room?
Okay, make this really, really quick. Four things. One, decluttering will make room for new items that bring you joy, period. More space, more room for things to come in. It's the flow. Things go out, new things can come in. Two, now you can curate your boutique to fit your unique personal style. So if you were holding on to a lot of pieces that didn't quite work with who you are, now they're out of the way and you can really start bringing in things that fit with who you are. Number three, and this is really relevant for me, you can see where the holes are, meaning like what foundational pieces are you missing? What pieces are you missing that you need to really cultivate your personal style? Then you can make a shopping list and focus on what you need when you go shopping. It'll keep you really like well focused. So that's really important. And then finally, pay attention to what you let go of, especially if it's stuff that you're like, oh, I didn't really love that, or that didn't fit in with my personal style. So that way, you know what not to buy again.
That's important.
And that's really important. Do not buy the same garbage over again. Like, avoid that.
Yes.
Let's make new mistakes this time. We're going to fail up. Okay. Fail up.
Yes. We're going to fail up. Exactly. Oh my God. That's so funny. I really think that's super important, is once you've gotten rid of the things, okay, what is the lesson in that? Like, yes, you're still going to continue to do this process regularly over time, because of course weight fluctuates, trends fluctuate, so on and so forth, but you're getting rid of things because maybe the trend is past or you don't fit into that item anymore, but you still loved it in a sense. Like it took its time, not like these items, because I know in the past I've had these items where I bought it and I thought it was a good idea, and then I never wore the thing. And then I just thought, oh my God, why did I buy this? Still has the flipping tags on it.
Oh my gosh. We've all made those mistakes. Or, you know, it's just like, yeah, you have good intentions, but.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I love that.
All right. Anything else you would like to add?
I think this is a journey, not a destination.
I feel like we say that a lot.
Yes, because that's what style is. Style is a journey. So you're not going to just declutter your closet once. I mean, maybe if you're a minimalist and you do this capsule wardrobe business, maybe you'll do that. I don't know. But I think even they have to get rid of things, you know, at some point, because again, weight fluctuates. Things get to the point where you can't wear them anymore because they've, you know, they can't be fixed, or they have a horrible, unfortunately, you get a horrible stain on something, and sometimes you just there's not enough OxiClean in the world that can take it out. So, you know, so I think even minimalists have to go through this process, not quite as extensively as me and you do, but just don't think of it like it's a one and done. This is just an ongoing process. And if you, I think, again, taking it piece by piece by piece, like Tuesday suggested to us, which I think is a great idea. The way that you said that was so awesome, because I kind of do that in my head, you know, like I'll just be like, oh, I'm going to go through all of my tops. I mean, I kind of just decide I'm going to go through all of my tops, and then, oh, I'm going to go through all of my jeans. I'm going to go through all of my dresses. I'm going to go through all of my skirts, and then get rid of things, or, you know, reassess what's happening with that. And then it's great, because then I can see what the holes are, like you said, and it's just an ongoing process. It's not overwhelming. So I love how you had it just, you could do this in a day if you wanted to, if you wanted to take a whole Saturday or Sunday or whatever day of the week and just do this and be done with it. But I think for your mind, it's just easier this way.
Yeah. Yeah. I think even if you're the kind of person who's like, oh, well, I'm going to pull everything out, maybe hold off on that. Even if you're going to do it on just one day, like say you're going to take a Saturday, just take it section by section. Just say, okay, well, this first hour, I'm going to do all the tops, pull those all out, go through them, whatever. Okay, now I've done that. Take a break, drink some water, take a walk around the block, come back. And like, okay, yeah. Now I'm going to, you know, like, so even if you're doing it all in one day, like, don't overwhelm yourself. I just feel like there's just so much emotional energy that gets put into this. And I don't think we take that into account. Like this kind of reminds me of like when I was in working in bridal, and you have a 2-hour appointment with a woman, and she tries on, you know, 6 or 7 dresses or whatever, and she's in and she's out and she's assessing like, what do we like, what we don't like. And usually there's an entourage and we've got to take all their opinions into account. And there's just all this stuff that's happening. And at the end, they're exhausted and they're wondering why, because all we did was try on 6 dresses. I'm like, because right. There's an emotional component here that you didn't take into account. There's a mental part that that literally physically exhausts you. And that's what happens in closet cleanouts too, is that you're not taking into account the mental component that's going to exhaust you. So just avoid all that and do it the way I tell you to do it.
I agree. And I never thought about it that way. Was you're talking about bridal is so true, because I remember when I was shopping for my wedding dress, you know, you go through all these different places, you have appointments, this, that, and the other, and I never felt overwhelmed by the process, because I'm a shopper. And so, but I think my people that I was with, they were so confused, I guess is the best way to put it, confused by how I just was like, nope, 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 okay, next. Nope, no. And just knew exactly what I wanted and knew exactly. And I was open to having other ideas, but within reason, you know, I wasn't going to just sit there and just try on mermaid dresses when I knew I wasn't not even entertaining any kind of a mermaid type of a dress. Like, nope, that's not, it's not what I want. But okay, I'll try a sleeve. You know, I didn't really want a sleeve, but I'll try a sleeve. You know, who knows? Maybe I'll like that one, you know, but, you know, I would try some things. But I think the people I was with, they thought that I really wasn't into it, into the dress shopping, because I really had no it's weird to say. I didn't have an emotion around it until I did have an emotion when I was like, this is it. This yeah. is the dress. This is the one.
Yeah. I just knew. And I think it, you're right. We do have a shopper's mentality, because I kind of went through some of that when I, as well, when I was wedding dress shopping, and it was like, there was no crying moment, you know, that a lot of brides have. And it was just because I'm not an emotional shopper, so to speak. I'm more of a I like what I like. I know what yeah. works. I know what doesn't work. When I see what it is that I'm looking for, bingo, we're done. And that's what happened. But we also have shopper mentality because we are natural shoppers.
Right. It's so strange. It's strange to say that because I guess it's just like an aha moment that I had about us, ourselves, myself, in the respect of, oh yeah, this is how my brain works. And so I just forget that's not how everyone's brain works. I mean, to me, like I said, this is just clothes. You're gonna get more. There's always gonna be more. There's always gonna be places to get more. There's never gonna be not enough clothes. So
yeah,
just have fun with it. Don't get overwhelmed. Take your time. I agree with all of this.
Yeah, I love it. All right. Well, now that our closets are decluttered, words are hard for me today, apparently. And your closets are decluttered and they look amazing. I know they do. Once you're done with this episode and you've done all the things we've told you to do, I know your closet looks amazing. But now it is time for glam time. Glam time is the part of the podcast where we chat about what has made our lives more glamorous this week. Yvonne, are you ready?
No.
No. Okay. Would you like me to go first? Usually the host, you know, allows the other person to like go first. But since Yvonne is not ready today, which we are going to give her grace for because she was not feeling well today. So we are just happy that she got onto the podcast today.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. I am ready. I have a drink because you guys I love my.
Okay.
It's a tea, so don't get too excited. But it is doing the most in my life right now. It's from Target. It's the Good and Gather brand. Like, it's a Target brand. It's their organic chamomile lavender tea. I have been drinking this almost every night to help me wind down for the evening and go to sleep. I have sleep issues. And a lot of times I do not sleep through the night. On the nights that I have been drinking this tea, I generally sleep through the night, unless my dog, who you can probably hear barking right now, unless she gets up and starts doing something crazy, I will sleep right through the night after drinking this tea. It is life-changing. Like, that's how amazing it is. And that's why it's my glam time, because it's helping me to get the rest that I need. And I love it. And I'm like wondering how I got by in my life without it.
Is like a tea bag?
Yeah, it's a tea bag. It comes in a box of 20. It comes in a little purple box with lavender flowers on it. Or maybe those are chamomile flowers. I don't know. There's flowers on the box. It's organic, like I said. It's like $4 at Target. Yeah, let's see what else there is to tell you here. Highlights. It is a sweet floral throughout with a soft lavender finish. It is caffeine free, kosher, if that's something you need to acknowledge. It says on the outside, enjoy a fragrant sip of goodness any time of day with a delicious cup of organic chamomile lavender herbal tea from Good and Gather. Tea is caffeine free, organic herbal blend that features sweet floral throughout with a soft lavender finish, making it a tasty alternative to coffee. Let's see, includes 20 tea bags, blah, 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 blah. Drink this chamomile lavender herbal tea hot to start off the morning. I don't know if I would drink it in the morning. I feel like lavender and chamomile are both things that are very calming. Relaxing. Yeah, very calming. And so
I feel like I need that right now.
Yeah, you probably do. Yeah, and it's before bed for a wind down to your day. Yeah.
I'm kind of mad. I put in a Target order and I'm like, dang it, I wish I would have known about this before I put my Target order in.
It's so good. It's really good. And I drink it in the evening, like I said, before bed. Sometimes I'll add a drop of sugar-free vanilla syrup to it, but most nights I don't. Like, if I need just a little bit of something sweet, you know, because I have a sweet tooth before bedtime, but I'm not supposed to do that. So I'll just put a little drop of, like, maybe one little teeny pour of sugar-free vanilla syrup and drink it. But most nights I take it just straight. No sugar, no honey, no nothing. Just because it's delicious. It's very, like, it's very calming and it's just really good. But most importantly, it is really helping me to get some rest. And maybe it's just the act of doing it.
The ritual.
Maybe that's, you know, causing me to sleep better. I don't know. I can't tell you that. But I can tell you that the nights I do this, I sleep.
Well, I mean, without it, you weren't getting it. Mm-hmm. Regardless if you weren't doing whatever. The ritual wasn't happening without this tea.
Correct.
So I guess the only way you could test it is if you got a different tea.
Yeah, but I really like this tea.
So there you go. Just stick with that one then. And now I'm like, dang it. I need that tea.
Can you imagine it though with like a little like lemon blueberry scone or cookie that had maybe a little lavender in it or something? That just sounds delightful, doesn't it?
Yes, it's very cozy in a springy way.
Yes.
I don't know. I love lavender and I love the smell of it. And I don't know. It just, yeah, I love all of that. Dang it. Now I'm like, oh, I wish I would have known about this before I put my Target order in, because I put a Target order in this morning that I have to
just add an item. And then of course you have to wait for that item to be ready. But
well, I might have to add two items because I can't find my Dramamine. And if this these little bands are working, but you know, I might need to add that too. So if these bands are really working, that should be my glam time. Actually,
I was just gonna say that. You got this for your cruise, right?
Yeah. So I got these little bands. This is not my glam time, but you know, maybe it's an extra added bonus here to my glam time. I got these little bands for seasickness bands for my cruise, my first cruise. And I bought two pair and I put them in my cruise first aid kit here that I assembled from Target, and it has all kinds of things in there. I won't go into it, but I have two pairs in there because I just didn't know if I was going to get seasick the first time, and I never used them, and then they just stayed in the kit. And when we went on our second cruise, I still didn't have to use the Dramamine. So maybe that's why the Dramamine's not in there. I don't know where the Dramamine went because it's not in my cruise kit. So mad about it because boy, I was not doing well earlier. And so I was looking through for the Dramamine and I found these little bands and I was like, oh man, I'll try anything. And again, I don't know if it's psychosomatic or if it really does work, but I feel better. So yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that right now, that's my glam time. I feel definitely more glam with this, with these bands on. So I don't know, have some in your repertoire, because if you're feeling nauseous and you don't have any anti-nausea stuff around, then you can put these on and maybe they'll help you too. So that's just a health tip for the day, I guess. You know, I don't know. But I do have a real glam time. I was looking for it and I couldn't find it because I was spelling the stupid thing wrong. So yeah, I was like, come on. I know it has, does it have two A's or two I's? It has two I's. So this is Air Professional, AIIR Professional, and it's a hair care brand. And I have been using their, okay, let me see. I'm going to get the name right. So, okay. Volcanic Ash. Okay, sorry. It's a dry texture mousse with volcanic ash infused. And so I have been using it as a dry shampoo mousse on the days that I don't wash my hair. Or, like, on the, I would say, like, the second or the third day. But if I was a smart girl, because I am a smart girl, I just don't do this because I'm kind of lazy. If I was a smart girl, I would put this volcanic at the day of hair wash. I would put this volcanic ash mousse in my hair, blow out my hair, and then probably by the second or third day, I wouldn't have to use this again, or I'd have to use a minimal amount, because it acts like a dry shampoo, but you get all this like cool volume with it. So if I washed my hair, put it in wet hair, blew out my hair, all that volcanic ash is product is in, it sounds weird, but it's already in your hair. So then that way, when oils start to produce, then they're already being absorbed instead of having to be absorbed. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So essentially you're like getting a jump start on.
Yeah. You're being preemptive.
Yes. Yes. So,
yeah. So that's kind of how I use dry shampoo, is I would blow out my hair, spray in dry shampoo on a clean hair. I don't need dry shampoo when I'm done blowing out my hair because I've blown it out. It's fabulous. But you spray the dry shampoo, this dry shampoo in first, and then as your days go, as you sleep that night, the next day, and oils are producing, the products are already in your hair to absorb. So then you get second day hair, it's like not as bad. Then when you go to use it again, you don't have to use as much because you already have the product in there. So if I was a smart girl, well, I should say if I wasn't a lazy girl, let's go with that. Because I am a smart girl. I am a very smart girl because I found these little thingies to put on today. But if I wasn't a lazy girl and I wanted to just blow dry my hair after I got out of the shower, which sometimes I take a shower at night, so who wants to blow dry their hair at night? You know, it's a lot. So then I would put it in, blow dry my hair, and then on the second or third day, whenever I felt like I needed again, you just get this mousse and you don't have to wet your hair. You just put it on your dry hair, put it all in, and then you blow it all out, and you just get this amazing body. It's amazing. It's just, I mean, it wouldn't be for your kind of hair for sure. But oh, for people that do a blowout, it's amazing. It just gives you this body, and I don't know, I just love it. I'm just in love with it.
I see all kinds of kind of interesting things on this website at airprofessional.com.
Okay.
Can you purchase this as a non?
Yeah, I think you can get it like, where can you purchase this at? I think you definitely can purchase it from their Instagram because it says shop. They have a shop on Instagram. And I don't know where else you can buy it from. Let's look on their I'm gonna see. Shop hair care. I guess you can get it from them directly.
Okay.
So, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I guess you can get it from them directly. I mean, obviously, I don't do that because I'm in the hair professional realm, so I get it from my sources. But, yeah, I guess I should have figured that out first. Sorry.
No worries. I think you're correct. As I'm kind of looking through the website, but I love some of the ingredients that I'm seeing on some of these products as well. So
yeah, it's a great, great line. It smells amazing. Number one.
Yeah.
They just have a really great, it's a tight product line. So there's not a million products that you're going to get overwhelmed by all these products. It's right. Gluten-free, paraben, all the frees, vegan, yeah. Well, it's all the frees. And I love this texture mousse. It's really, really awesome. And you can use it instead of using, if you want to have body, you just need to add heat to it and re-blow dry your hair and you're good to go.
I love this. I really, really do. Yeah. It sounds very intriguing. Like this is not something, a product I would ever be using, because I never use dry shampoos or anything like that, even when I'm doing a blowout. But
no, you wouldn't looking need at to. The,
yeah, I wouldn't need to. I'm also like just looking at the ingredients here, and then just looking at the page, the whole page itself, and how she has really, the founder has really like put in a lot of. She obviously has a niche. Like, it's very much about like the energy that goes into it. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So, and I love it. It just looks very intriguing. And there is a hair mask on here that I would be interested in, but
oh
yeah, just, it looks like it's, it feels like wellness mixed into hair care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very, Melissa, who does my hair extensions, this is what she uses exclusively for her clients. And so I saw her use it because, I mean, how could I possibly know about every hair product on the market? There's like a gazillion, right?
There's but so many.
I saw her do a reel about it. And I was like, I have to ask her about this. So I one day went over to her studio and I said, hey, do you have any of that hair mousse? And she's like, yeah, because I forgot to go to the beauty supply and pick some up. And I said, do you just put it right on? Do I have to? She's like, yeah, just put it right on. And, you know, we did this quick 1 second tutorial, like, tell me what to do and I'll do it. I'm a hairdresser. I know how to do this. And I'm like, okay, cool. So then I just went in and just put it, big lump, and I moved it all around. And then I blew out my hair and I was amazed. Amazed. I mean, it came out, my hair is different than Melissa's, but I was like, wow, her reel didn't lie. It was really true. It really freaking worked. It was amazing. So I was excited because I got another like 2 days out of it.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, I got another 2 days of hair out of it, and that's awesome. But then when I went to wash my hair, I really needed to wash my hair, but
yeah,
it's a whole nother story, but it was awesome. And she calls it her woohoo line because she's, you know,
it is a little woohoo. Yes.
Yeah.
It's a little woohoo. But also, if I'm reading her bio correctly, she is potentially a local.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She's had a very like traveled life going from the States over to Europe and back. But her bio, the last place she mentions being in is in Arizona, so
it does say Scottsdale on
it could be an Arizona girl.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, we'll take it. Well, we like to shout out locals.
Yeah, I didn't know that part. That's super cool.
We'll have to dig a little. Wait a minute.
I think I do know this because now that I'm looking at, you know, sometimes when you see a name, but then when you mm-hmm. see the person.
Yeah.
Yes, I do know this. I do know her from other things in the valley around hairdressing.
Ew. Wow. Small world.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm even more excited.
Right?
I'm even more excited. So
we
yes,
get to support a local girl. I love it.
Yeah. I don't know. You can buy directly from them. So other than that, if I find out more info, I'll let y'all know. But I know where I get it from as a professional for like my use as a hair professional. But for everybody out there that can't shop where I shop, I know you can obviously buy it directly. And then apparently if you're in Scottsdale, you go to her place, wherever that is in Scottsdale. I don't really know.
All right. I love it. I love it. All right. Well, that I think wraps up another episode of the Chic Strategy.
Woohoo.
We hope Woo-hoo! Yeah. Where's the cue the confetti?
Yes. I made it.
Yeah, I know. We hope you've enjoyed diving into the world of decluttering and organizing your closets with us. Remember that a clutter-free closet is just a few steps away. Just go back to the beginning of this episode and put into action all the steps we've given you. And don't forget to share your closet clean-out victories with us via email at thechicstrategy@gmail.com or on Instagram. Our handle is thechicstrategy. It's all one word. You can find me Tuesday at From Tuesday, and Yvonne is on Instagram at yvonne.style. And if you're enjoying our show, be sure to rate us over on Apple Music because we love those 5-star ratings, and share this podcast with a friend. And then be sure to tune in next time for more tips, tricks, and plenty of sass, and hopefully some health as we continue our journey towards becoming the glam in the room. Until then, stay fabulous. You just listened to another episode of The Chic Strategy, produced and edited by your fabulous co-hosts, Tuesday Morris and Yvonne Rosales. In between episodes, you can always head to The Chic Strategy's Instagram page for inspiration and to go behind the scenes. The Chic Strategy is powered by subscribers like you. To keep all of our podcasts free and accessible to everyone who needs some extra glam in their lives, consider becoming a strategist in our exclusive Patreon community. Membership starts at $3 a month and is easy to join at patreon.com/thechicstrategy.